Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show. After the hour, happy Friday. Hope your week has been a good one. Thanks for joining me this morning on the show. We have a great show coming up. We're going to speak to Adam Holtz in just a couple of minutes. And then Tyler Burns is going to be with us as well in this hour. So we've got a great hour planned. Here's a verse, Isaiah 58:11. I've been thinking about this, praying about this verse. It says, "The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." I love the fact that he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. I could use a little sun-scorching right now. Be nice when spring comes, and come Monday morning, it's going to be pretty, pretty. You set your clocks, so you wake up, and it's an hour earlier, and oh, then all of a sudden, you've lost sleep. But that means spring is on the way, so we're looking forward to that. And in Psalm 103:5, it says, God will satisfy your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So I was saying in the first hour, a quote by a Polish weightlifter named Jerzy Gregorek. He said, "Hard choices, easy life. Easy choices, hard life." And I think that's probably pretty true. This life is hard, and if you make hard choices, life should go well. God will be there for you. But stay focused, stay in the Word, stay disciplined, be others-oriented. Try not to think about yourself so much. I think even millennials are starting to have a little bit of a revolt from social media, because I think that has them thinking about themselves quite a bit. I'm just suggesting that it's time to pull the plug a little bit. Today is National Pull the Plug Day on electronic stuff. So maybe you can find some time to put your phone down or whatever it is that you feel a little addicted to and spend more time in God's Word. But it does say in a story I read that millennials are even themselves getting sick of Instagram. More than half of users between the ages of 18 and 24 revealed they are seeking relief from social media. The poll, which was taken in December, found that 34% of young users reported having deleted social media accounts entirely. 41% said that they waste too much time on social media. And 35% agreed that people their age are too distracted by their online lives. Let's have those real lives with real people. It's 7 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break, and I will bring on Adam Holtz in just a minute. Welcome back. It is 8 minutes after the hour. Adam Holtz is our friend from PluggedIn.com. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. In your job, you must feel terribly obligated to stay up and watch all 4 hours of the Oscars broadcast. Did you do that?
I watched most of it. I was at church for the first part, but frankly, that was okay.
I get it.
Yeah, I think the Oscars this year went, you know, pretty predictably. We're obviously in a cultural moment where with the Me Too movement, there are a lot of things going on. Just trying to, I think, very rightly say there have been some abuses that are going on that we need to correct. And yet, I think at the same time, sometimes self-righteous bandwagons start to feel a little grating. So I don't want to in any way minimize the cause, but I think there is a fatigue factor, and I certainly felt that with the Oscars.
Yeah.
We hear powerful messages about how God is leading you through through Faith Radio.
I just got out of prison. Faith Radio really helped me in prison. It was definitely encouraging. I go to bed every night with Faith Radio. I just know how important it is to be settled and grounded in God's Word and in fellowship with God's people.
We'd love to hear about how God is moving in your life. Just call the toll-free Faith Line at 877-93-FAITH. Thank you so much for your support of the Faith Radio Network. Thanks to generous donors like you, we are able to work towards our mission of leading people to Christ and nurturing believers in their faith through media that is Christ-centered. That means each show and feature we air points us to Jesus, and our website is filled with wonderful articles and resources that will equip and encourage you in your faith. Find out more online at myfaithradio.com.
It's 11 minutes after the hour. Adam Holtz on the line. You know, Adam, today is National Disconnect from Social Media and Disconnect from Electronics, and maybe I jumped the gun too soon.
You know, I had that same thought. I'm like, I don't think we were supposed to apply that to our interview, but, you know.
But you never know how things work.
If you're talking about something and God pulls the plug, it's like, oh, I guess we're done talking about that.
Yeah. I just want to get back to the Oscars broadcast and just – Is the reason you think the ratings are so low is because of some of this Me Too stuff, or do you think that some of the movies that get voted for Best Picture and all that are just movies that aren't that popular?
You know, I think it's a combination of things. I think we want to, you know, pick on one cause that maybe we are not resonant with personally. I think the movies weren't that popular. The box office struggled for a good portion of last year. You know, The Walking Dead premiered. And I think that even though that may sound ridiculous, there are so many options that people have these days that, I think it's really only the hardcore cinephiles that care. And I just don't think that the vast majority of the public really cares that much about it. So I think that we're seeing that all of those things come together, and it was the worst rated Oscars broadcast ever.
Well, one of the winners was Jordan Peele. He was a writer and director and won an Oscar for a best screenplay, and he's African-American, I believe the first African-American to win that award.
I think that's right, yes.
Yes, and I find it interesting that his film, Get Out, which he said he spent $4.5 million to make at the box office, has already grossed over $250 million. I would imagine that made him a rich man.
I'm thinking that it did well. And you know, I think it's an example that you can tell an engaging story without spending $200 million. Now, the engaging story he chose to tell, unfortunately, has got all sorts of problems with it.
That's true.
I'm not recommending his movie. But
No, I know. I'm not either.
But he definitely hit a nerve with that story. And if you're curious about what Get Out's all about, PluggedIn.com is the place to go to check it out.
Awesome. All right, let's talk about some of the movies that are out right now. A Wrinkle in Time. I saw that ad in the paper, and there's a picture of Oprah Winfrey, right?
Yes, with a lot of makeup on.
Right, with a lot of makeup. And the words that were small were A and in. So all I saw was Wrinkle Time. And I thought, well, that's not very nice.
That's a mean ad, isn't it?
That's kind of a mean ad. Why would they do that? She looks great,
exactly.
By the way. Yeah.
Well, I know when I first started seeing the trailers, I kind of found myself sucking my breath in a little bit because, you know, this is a beloved story by Madeline L'Engle. The novel was published originally in 1962, and she sort of straddles the is she a Christian or isn't she, or is she a Christian with whom we have some questions about. The book is filled with scripture and filled with biblical messages, and yet the book also has some other messages, and Madeline L'Engle's life hints that perhaps she leaned toward the universalist side of things. But, you know, at the very least, it was a book that drew inspiration in many ways from scripture. And so I think from our perspective, you take a beloved story with somebody who is incorporating scripture, and the question is, what is Disney going to do with it? And the story, in a nutshell, is about a young girl, Meg Murray, whose dad is a scientist, and he has disappeared. And Oprah Winfrey shows up, and she is one of three characters that have interesting names that begin with Mrs. and end in something weird. So Oprah Winfrey is Mrs. Witch, Reese Witherspoon is Mrs. What's-It, and Mindy Kaling is Mrs. Who. And these three sort of celestial, vaguely angelic beings invite Meg and her little brother, Charles Murray, and another kid named Calvin into this galaxy and universe-spanning adventure to save their dad and really to save the universe. There's this lurking evil that they have to confront along the way. You know, what the movie gets right is it focuses on love. It focuses on really self-acceptance in the best possible way. You know, that Meg has a lot of insecurities. She's really angry. Her dad's been gone for 4 years, and that's been hard on her. So the film emphasizes family and sacrifice. So those are terrific themes in the abstract, and it avoids any kind of sexual content. There's no profanity at all. You know, there's some peril, but there's nothing really graphically violent. But I think that fans of the book are going to say, well, what happened to all of the Christian messages? And those have mostly been ironed out. They're mm-hmm. not really there mm-hmm. for the most part. And in their place, we get messages about being one with the universe and believing in yourself, maybe to a point of unhealthiness, that, you know, these messages that have a really new agey kind of vibe. And so, ironically, Disney said they wanted to make an inclusive movie that would appeal to people of all faiths, but, you know, there are a lot of Christians who are fans of this book, and it may ironically offend them in its attempt to not offend anybody.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, Adam, when I come back, I want to ask you about Samson. That's next up on my list of questions to ask Adam Holtz from PluggedIn.com. We'll take a short break. It's 17 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back. Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour. I'm speaking to Adam Holtz from PluggedIn.com. We're talking movies right now. All right, those Philistines, aren't they kind of jerks?
Philistines are kind of jerks sometimes, yeah. Right?
Yeah, let's hear about the movie Samson.
Well, Samson is a dramatic retelling, reimagining of Samson's story. And obviously, if you have been to Sunday school in the last 50 or 60 years or at any time in your life, mm-hmm. you probably know Samson's story. Guy that God set apart, said, here are the rules for how I want you to live. Samson had a penchant for women, rebelled, you know, sort of gets manipulated by Delilah into getting his hair cut off, and we know the rest of the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this movie tells that story, but it does so in a kind of a curious way. I think it really works hard to make Samson perhaps a more sympathetic character than he actually is in the Bible. And the same is really to be said about Delilah's characterization here. She sort of gets portrayed as an unwitting pawn of sorts in a bigger political battle. And, you know, the story ends up, the broad swaths of it are still the same. But I think it would be possible to watch it as somebody who's familiar with the Bible story and think, wow, they took some liberties here, and perhaps the characterizations aren't completely true to where things are at scripturally. Obviously, it's a violent story. It's one with quite a bit of sexuality, and those things are dialed down to PG-13 levels. But this is definitely a movie, if you're interested in watching it with your family, that you'd want to check out our review just to see if those levels are still higher than you want to deal with. So it's a PG-13 action movie, and our reviewer Paul Acey said it reminded him of Braveheart, you know, sort of the Braveheartification of Samson. And if you're going to make Samson into the hero, you probably have to do that a little bit. But we felt like maybe that didn't work as well as it could have. So of the many Christian movies that are out this year and this spring, that one may not be at the top of your list.
Okay. And Adam, how old is your oldest son?
He is 11.
And you would not take him to this, correct?
I don't think I would take him to this one just yet. I mean,
okay.
This is a pretty solid PG-13 movie.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm going to ask you about TV now. Let's switch over to TV. Let's talk about the Bachelor. Did they finally go too far?
I think they did. I mean, this is a series that sort of experiments in new ways of going too far almost every season, but the upshot is that the Bachelor this year, who is the son of race car legend Ari Leyendijk and conveniently named Ari Leyendijk Jr., he decided he wanted to propose to one woman, but then after he did that, had second thoughts and broke up with her and proposed to the other. And that took place, in my understanding, over a span of maybe even a couple weeks. It wasn't like one night. But it's all condensed in the broadcast. And it's been a long time since I've seen something like moral outrage for something content-wise on television. But people are really asking, you know, at what point do the producers go too far in manipulating the participants, manipulating the audience? And, you know, we're really in sort of an emotional Roman gladiatorial games. We're watching other people's lives be destroyed or at least badly damaged for the sake of entertainment. And I think it's people are kind of having a moment and saying, yeah, have we had enough of this? And I think the sad thing is by the time next season rolls around, the answer will be no, we want the next round. But at least for the moment, there seems to be a modicum of reflection about whether it's okay or not.
So Twitter lit up over this. Apparently there was outrage. The first woman he proposed to, Becca, she then got dumped on TV.
Yes.
And basically kind of destroys a life unless you look at it and go, well, that's just TV, right? This isn't real, right?
Right.
How are you supposed to look at this?
Yes. I mean, there's some part of it that's real, but she's going to be the next Bachelorette. So it wasn't so real that she said, I never want to do this again. She's signed up to, you know, give it another go. So on one hand, I have sympathy for her. And on another hand, she is a willing participant in the kind of manipulation that these shows perpetrate upon us. And, you know, we like drama, and we like, you know, supposedly real drama, but this kind of show, I think, it really is pushing it too far, Bill.
Mm-hmm. And now it looks like the Obamas might be getting a deal from Netflix. Have you heard anything about that?
You know, I just saw a headline about that this morning. I was looking at the news, and I didn't click on it, but, you know, we have reality stars becoming presidents, and I suppose it can work the other way, too. Why not have former presidents be reality stars?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can elevate the medium a little bit. It wouldn't take very much.
I hate to think that the job of president is a job you get on the way to getting a really good job.
Well, you hate to think that, but these days the intersection of celebrity and politics is just, it's complicated, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's just, it seems to be running both directions, and I think to me, it's just fodder to keep praying for our country. You know, the scripture tells us to pray for our leaders, and I think it tells us to pray for the ones that we may not even always agree with, and that seems like a good prayer in these crazy times, Bill.
Yeah, I agree. Adam, thanks so much for being on the show. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Bill.
And enjoy the movies. I'll talk to you next time.
Great. Thanks, Bill.
You bet. It is 26 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and be back in a minute. It's 29 minutes until the top of the hour. We're going to take a little break for news. But when we come back, Tyler Burns from The Witness, the Black Christian Collective, is going to talk about his perspective on the movie The Black Panther and fatherhood. Back in a minute. Good morning. It's 25 minutes until the top of the hour. Dwight Nordstrom. I don't think I've ever met a Dwight I haven't liked. Dwight Johnson, Dwight Davies, Dwight Nordstrom. Anyway, Dwight explains how inviting workers to attend a Bible study at work can draw people who don't know Jesus into a relationship with him.
Let's say we have a factory, we start up, and we have 200 people. We may have 80 of those people that would be engineering graduates, so they're typically highly technical. Normally, we would like to get those people to get together. We allow them if they want to come. Normally, less than 1% that come to our operations have ever even seen a Bible. So we offer, okay, guys, we're going to have a Bible study before work, at lunch hour, after work. You're welcome to come. You don't have to come. And rather, they want to improve their life. The Bible has some fantastic values for improving the quality of what you do, not to lie, not to steal, to live a good moral life in and outside of the workplace, to not be jealous of others. I mean, socialism at its heart is sort of stopping the high performers from achieving that, from jealousy, things of that nature, not to backslander, not to kill. And from that, normally within 6 months, most of our people seeking to improve come to a point of saying, well, now, I understand these, but how do you actually live these? How do you actually, the power to live them? And, of course, that's what the Holy Spirit gives us.
If you want to hear that full interview from Dwight Nordstrom, go to myfaithradio.com. Dwight Nordstrom is his name. You can also type in business as a mission. I'm going to my Bible study after the show today. Looking forward to that. And that is going to be very good for my soul. So I'll take a short break. And then Tyler Burns is already on Skype with us. We're going to talk about the Black Panther. Be back in a minute.
I don't spend too much time in the kitchen. I prefer to barbecue on the back porch. But I do know that recipes make baking a whole lot easier. The problem comes when we apply the step-by-step process to raising kids. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Adding ingredients in the right order and giving it time in the oven may work in the kitchen, but you're in trouble if you think that's the way parenting works. Raising mature and independent adults takes intentionality. Focus on building a relationship, listening to your teen, and sticking to your boundaries. This will be an ongoing process long after your kids leave home.
Having trouble parenting your teen in today's rapidly changing culture? Mark Gregston can help. Get instant access to Mark's new free parenting course online at freeparentingcourse.com.
Minutes until the top of the hour. Happy Friday. Glad the weekend is here. I have on our on Skype line Tyler Burns from The Witness, the Black Christian Collective. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm well. How is you? How are you and Jamar doing?
We're doing very well. Jamar is actually doing a lecture series right now in Austin, Texas. So
nice.
He is going to be lecturing from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. today.
Oh, we'll be praying for Jamar today.
Please
I appreciate you coming on the show. Very curious to hear about your perspective on the Black Panther. It's really taken the movie world by storm.
Well, I am a pastor and a podcaster, but I am also a self-proclaimed comic book nerd.
Okay,
so
awesome.
I have a lot of context for Black Panther as a character. And so
okay.
Before he was a portrayal on the big screen, I read all of his comic books.
Okay.
And so I know a lot about T'Challa. And so have you seen the film, Bill?
I have not yet. I haven't seen a movie in a couple of years.
Am I going to spoil it for you? I think I'm going to spoil it for you, Bill.
Go ahead.
Well, I'll just give some background on the character. Well, Black Panther as a character was created in the Marvel comic universe in the mid-1960s. And so what a lot of people assume is that it's a direct reference to the Black Panther Party. But in reality, it was actually created 3 months before the Black Panther Party was even created. So it's just this weird coincidence of events. And Black Panther is all about a fictional country in Africa called Wakanda. And Wakanda is an African country that has technological advancement, and it is also filled with a rich material called vibranium, which is very important in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also hidden from everyone else. So it's hidden in plain sight. So the Black Panther is the protector and king of Wakanda. So when I found out that we were going to see this portrayal on the big screen, I was very encouraged, excited, and I hoped that it wouldn't let me down and undershoot my expectations. But it actually exceeded all of them. It's an excellent film.
Wow.
Filled with a lot of different things. You know what I say, Bill, actually, and I'll just make this controversial statement on your on your radio show. I think it's the most important movie blockbuster in the modern era because of what it will produce, because of the conversation around it, and because of how much money it's made and the critical acclaim. So that's my controversial statement.
I love it.
But I'm certainly unbiased, of course, right?
Well, I'm wondering, Tyler, if the Black Party, the Black Panther movement didn't borrow from this comic book idea.
Well, actually, they were not in any relation.
Okay.
So they were in completely different worlds. It just actually happened all at the same time.
Okay.
And in response to it, Marvel actually changed the name of Black Panther for a short period of time to avoid any confusion. They changed his name to Black Leopard.
Okay.
But the Black Panther name was just such a great name that they ended up coming back to it eventually.
All right. Now, Tyler, maybe you could help our Christian listeners and people like myself. You know, I'm white, so maybe you can help me better understand why this movie is resonating the way it is among the Black community.
Well, it's definitely an important question for us to ask and answer, because Black Panther is certainly not the first film to include or feature a Black superhero.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unique in two main ways that kind of transcend the superhero movie genre. The first way is it shows a full-orbed, complex, layered view of Black and African identity without these simplistic stereotypes that Hollywood and the media tend to lean into when it comes to describing Black Americans and specifically Africans. And it also portrays the characters as royal, regal, and complex. So they're not always right. There's not really an easy way of looking at some of these characters. They're multidimensional. And so I think for a lot of people, we're used to slave narratives, or we're mm-hmm. used to history lessons or integration tales such as Remember the Titans or Glory Road or movies sure. such as that. And this kind of takes a different approach. It presents a very complex view of Black and African identity. And I think the second thing that is appealing for many Black Americans, and particularly Black Christians, is that the movie makes an implicit statement by existing within a universe that is filled with superheroes and iconic characters like Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, the Hulk, or whoever you want to refer to, but it doesn't reference any of those characters in the movie. It references none of those characters. They make no appearances, and it exists within itself without having to explain itself. So there are characters in the film with lip plates. There are characters in the film who speak in a click African dialect. And none of that is explained for a Western audience. So it's really for Black people to look at and to marvel at the ways in which their culture and their heritage is being represented. So for many people, not having seen that, to see that now is why we're all dressing up, why we're all excited and going to see the movie multiple times. It fills a gap in an important cultural need.
I get it. Wasn't that long ago, Tyler, I had Tabidi Anwabwile on, and he is very excited about this movie. He wrote an article about it, and he said the Black Panther movie is a movie about Black women.
Absolutely. Well, knowing Pastor Tabidi, I know he would agree with me that neither he nor I are anywhere near the most informed voices when it comes to the topic of Black womanhood, and in particular, as he was referencing womanism. Mm-hmm. And to discuss it in any way that it requires, you'd have to get Dr. Christina Edmondson or Kemeny Uwan or Lisa Fields, who are brilliant Black women in this discipline. But I will say that Pastor Tabidi is right in the sense that it portrays a very unique representation of Black women that probably hasn't been seen in its complexity in any other movies before. Nakia, Shuri, Okoye, Ramunda are all brilliant Black women, and they all have different complexities and they all have different emotions. And so Black women are portrayed as technological geniuses in the case of Shuri. They're portrayed as military commanders, yet at the same time lovers in Okoye's case. They're portrayed as queens in Ramonda's case. And they're also portrayed as humanitarian aides and generous women in the case of Nakia. And it's actually very powerful from a sense to see these women. I was able to watch the movie with my wife the first time I saw it. And watching her reaction to it as a black woman showed the ways in which seeing yourself in a portrayal that's not promiscuous or a Jezebel character or a mammy maid character can be very empowering for black women.
All right, Tyler, you said I saw it with my wife the first time. How many times have you seen it?
You know, I've only seen it twice, and this is—I'm actually ashamed of this because I said I was going to see it five or six times in the theater, and I still plan on going back. But I just recently became a father, so my time is
my friend.
Thank you. My time isn't as—it's a girl.
Oh,
it's a girl.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What is her name?
Her name is Trinity.
Trinity, that's beautiful. All right, I've got more questions, Tyler, but I do need to take a little break. So I'm speaking to Tyler Burns from The Witness. It is 14 minutes until the top of the hour. Be back in just a minute. We are back. It's 11 minutes until the top of the hour. I'm speaking to Tyler Burns from The Witness. He recently wrote an article called Black Panther and Fatherhood. We have tweeted that out, so that will reach as many as seven people. Tyler, I'm curious about just the positive portrayal in movies. Now, when you get a strong character, that can actually work as a little role model for kids, can it? And then, or at least help them understand certain values.
Absolutely. And what we like to say within minority communities as it relates to portrayals in public is that representation matters. And so representation matters in the ways in which characters are viewed, in the ways in which they're portrayed and written, and also the ways in which their complexity is interacted with. And in this film, you see that T'Challa is outside of the brilliant black women who we've already talked about. T'Challa is a hero worth following, and he's a hero worth wrestling with because he doesn't always make the right decision. But in the end, he makes wise decisions for the sake of others and for the sake of his own kingdom. And so I think it's actually great for young people to grow up seeing a T'Challa type character and seeing other characters to wrestle with as well, which bring up great tension points and, conversation starters.
Yeah. I just encourage our listeners to go follow that tweet and open that article that Tyler wrote. If nothing else, for the opening photo that's in there and the opening line of the movie, The Black Panther, and it almost brings tears to my eyes.
It actually, so the second time I watched the film, it brought tears to my eyes as well because I watched it with my father. It was in a group of people, but my father was sitting right next to me. And so my father and I have a great relationship. He's actually my pastor at the church that I serve at. Mm-hmm. And so I've grown up with him being around in my life. But to see the ways in which we were able to interact together with the reality of fatherhood and the ways in which T'Challa's father, King T'Chaka, affirms him at certain points, but also in the ways in which he makes mistakes and T'Challa has to deal with that. All fathers have to deal with the reality that they're not going to be perfect. And that's a reality that I'm coming in contact with myself. And so how do we ensure that as fathers, we don't build a myth, an unhealthy myth around our own perfection? In the Bible, salvation is it presupposes weakness. It presupposes an inability for us to do the right thing outside of the help of the example of Christ. And so what we should do as Christian fathers is we should freely admit our own weaknesses. As Paul says in Corinthians, I glory in my weaknesses, knowing that in my weaknesses, Christ's strength is made perfect in me. And so that's my desire as I write the article, as I wrote the article about fatherhood. And I think we see that in Black Panther, the ways in which if we keep up a myth of utopia and perfection, we're actually hindering the growth of our children, and we're passing on sins to them that they'll have to carry throughout their generation.
It started with him saying, Papa, tell me a story. And then the question is, which one? And then he says, the story of home. And I thought, boy, that's just so strong. It's so powerful. I was thinking of the Jesus at the Last Supper, basically gathered with his disciples, telling them where he had come from, who he was, and where he was going. And I sometimes think of, if people don't know where they've been in life, they may not know who they are. And if they don't know who they are, they may not know where they're going. And so
absolutely,
to hear stories of home and to have the affirmation of a father, and for a father to say, you know, I'm proud of you. You're my boy. You've got my name. Boy, a man goes out into the world in strength. And now I'm just afraid we're still in a fatherless generation. And how do we reach out? How do we love? How do we do this better, Tyler?
Well, the interesting thing about the opening line of the film is it's actually spoken by the future villain. So the young boy who's talking to his father is actually going to end up being the villain.
Okay.
But really, actually, by no fault of his own, it was the circumstances that he was placed in. I won't spoil the movie for you, Bill, but I'll just say that there was a moment in time where his father was taken away from him prematurely.
Okay.
And he was not able to live within his home country of Wakanda. And the fallout from that, and him being raised in an Americanized, Westernized system, actually mirrors a lot of what we're experiencing now with young Black men who have been placed in systems and in society that devalues them, that dehumanizes them, that sees them as threats, instead of appreciating and dignifying their humanity. And so regardless of if young men have fathers present in their lives or not, one thing that the church can do is we can dignify and celebrate young men. Mm-hmm. We can dignify and celebrate young women. We can approach them with compassion, not with suspicion. We can look to reach out to them and love them in tangible ways. Many of them haven't ever heard any points of affirmation. One of the things that I like to do within our youth group is I like to practically, tangibly affirm our young men and our young women. So I like to give them specific compliments, not like that was nice, but I'm proud of what you did because that's what good fathers do. I'm proud of what you did because you're going to be a great wife one day in how you serve and in how you lead. And those things actually increase the affirmation of dignity. And those are signs that Christ has transformed our hearts in the way that we view others. So the first thing is that churches and believers have the responsibility to reach out and have the responsibility of celebrating young people. I think that would stem a lot of the problems that we have today. Compassion rather than suspicion.
Yeah. Tyler, I have to affirm you. You're amazing. You've just done such an awesome job. Every time you're on the show, I go, let's get Tyler Burns back on. That's my first thing I say when I get off the air with you.
Well, thank you, Bill. I really appreciate that. And I thank you for having me on to discuss such a great movie and one that you should go see this weekend.
Yeah, and you spoke with much authority on this movie, The Black Panther. So thank you very much and have a great weekend and blessings to your family and Trinity, your new baby. That's just awesome.
Thank you very much, Bill.
All right. All right, it's a couple minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break and wrap up the show.
Today is the tomorrow that you promised yourself yesterday. So get it started right with the Early Morning Late Show on Faith Radio.
Thanks to Tyler Burns. You might want to go check out his article that he wrote on Black Panther. Very good. Appreciate his analysis of it, and find out he's a comic book nerd. Absolutely makes him even more qualified than the average person to talk about it. He did a great job. Really nice to have him. And special thanks to Colin Hanson from the Gospel Coalition and his bold stance he took on the ABC show Uncomfortable. Always nice to hear from Colin. And that wraps up our show. We've got a great show coming up Monday. And Monday, just as a reminder, is going to be feeling a little extra early because of daylight savings time. So, and I always hate that because I got to set my alarm at 2 in the morning to get up, to change my clock, to move it ahead. It's exhausting. So it's going to come early Monday. So have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for supporting Faith Radio. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the feedback you give me. And I know our whole team loves coming to work and doing our job, and we're very blessed to be doing this every day. So thank you for supporting Faith Radio. Thanks for listening, and go out and have a great weekend. I will see you Monday bright and early. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.